الحمد لله، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه ومصطفاه، أما بعد، يا برادرز اند سيسترز، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, as we all know that we are going to go through the second pillar of La ilaha illallah, the second pillar of Islam, second pillar of the pillars of the five pillars of Islam. What we are going to talk about in this issue, the issue of the second pillar, which is Salah. First of all, what is the meaning of Salah? What is the meaning of Salah? Let's take a quick look to very important things about Salah. The meaning of Salah is, the meaning of Salah is, as in Arabic, Salah can be by the meaning of Dua, like it is in English when they say pray. In English they say pray for me to be better or to be successful or whatever. That is one meaning of Salah. However, in Arabic, although it means dua, obligation, but when Salah is mentioned generally like that, it initially goes to the meaning of what the Muslim do five times a day. Special movements, special sayings, and special times in special form. That is Salah. Special movements, special sayings, and special times with a special form. That is the initial meaning of Salah. Salah also means the connection between the slave and the Lord. That is Salah, from Sila, connect. That is Salah. So Salah is the connection between you and your Lord. What does that mean? When you are in Salah, you have no any other connections. You cannot answer the phone, you cannot talk to your neighbor, you cannot move here or there, you just concentrate on your Salah. Why? Simply because you are in a connection now with your Lord. There you are praising your Lord by the rituals and the sayings. You are saying, Allahu Akbar. And Allahu Akbar here means that Allah is greater than anything. So you got to know what is the meaning of that. I mean, not only the meaning of the word by the literation, no. You have to know the deep meaning of it. The meaning that hides in the depths. Who can reach that? Those who are upon tranquility, upon khushu'. That is Salah. Salah prevent the one who does it from fahsha and munkar. It prevents you from fahsha and munkar. What is fahsha and munkar? Fahsha and munkar is everything that Allah Ta'ala hates and doesn't like. That is fahsha and munkar. That is the fahsha and munkar. So, as what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah 45, إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Verily, Salah prevents from fahsha and munkar, from false sayings and actions. That is how Salah works. Salah also is a view of help. Salah is a view of help to face the difficulties and problems, as this life never be found free of difficulties or problems. As it is said, it is created of difficulties and hardship. That is the life. That is the life. That is the life. So, when you practice Salah regularly, you are going to have the method of help. You are going to have the method of hell gained. How? Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 153, says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So, Allah Ta'ala is telling us in this ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, 153, all you who believe, take a help, or get a help, to all matters you face in this life, difficulties you got in your life. By what? From where we get it? Patience and salah. Patience and prayer. So if you have difficulties, Allah Ta'ala, Ikhwan, gave us, and alhamdulillah, a remedy of all the defect we have in our lives. For example, Allah Ta'ala said that the remembrance of Allah will bring tranquility to your heart. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Nay, by the remembrance of Allah, your heart settles and it gets tranquility, then you don't feel annoyed. You don't feel disturbed. You don't feel that you are worried. Even when you're facing the massive difficulties. Why? Simply because you are with the Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he had a problem or something to worry about, he used to call Bilal and say to him, Ya Bilal, arihna bis salah. Oh Bilal, give us some rest by salah. Because Bilal was the muaddin, so the Prophet tells him, praise the iqamah, let's get into salah and get rid of all these problems and, you know, crises and matters and this and that. How? Because when they get to salah, they get with tranquility. Which has causes, you know, there are causes for tranquility. Tranquility doesn't come just like that if you wish it comes. No, no, no. You have to do something so tranquility comes to you. We will come to talk about that sometime later. But today we are so concerned about these things, salah. But anyway, to gain tranquility, for example, you need to learn so you know what is salah. Why we do salah? How should we perform salah? How we should perform salah? And then you need to know what are the conditions of salah. What are the pillars of salah? What are the obligations of salah? What are the optional sayings and actions of salah? What are the invalidations of salah? You need to know all these things. And some other things related to salah, like sujood sahw, for example. That thing that most of the Muslims do not know how to fulfill. It's a worship. So, we're going to talk about salah all the coming days. We're going to talk from today until Tuesday. And then, inshallah, we're going to have the quiz about the second pillar, which is salah. I'm going to mention here so many hadith and ayat about salah. So you need to write down, or if you can't, then you turn back to Salafitib website to get the lecture, and then you write down these things. So salah is the recovery of all the worries, problems, whatever. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, as in Sunan Abi Dawud, the hadith is authenticated by Imam Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Sahabi said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used, whenever he faced a problem or a difficulty or he had some worries, he used to call for salah. But that doesn't mean he called for salah in a time which is not for salah. Now, for example, if he used to wait between adhan and iqamah for 20 minutes in the regular times, when there is a problem, he only waits for maybe 10 minutes or less, and they call Bilal to raise the iqamah. Why they want to get rid of these worries and problems? To have this kind of merits from salah as to prevent you from doing wrong, as to help you in facing difficulties and problems, as to be a remedy of all the worries that you have in your mind, then you need to know what is salah. It is the salah that Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 43, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. See, the zakah came between, أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Now, salah is one of the pillars of Islam, which is one worship. Zakah is one of the pillars of Islam, which is one worship. Ruku' is not one of the pillars of Islam. It is part of the pillar of salah, the pillar which is salah. So it is only part of salah. So why it is separated and mentioned? Because ruku' is very, very important. And very little times, you see, you may feel khushu' while sujood, but very, very seldom times you feel khushu' and ruku'. Very little times when you feel khushu' and ruku'. Why? It is because Either this salah wasn't fulfilled as supposed, or that this salah is not for Allah. And we all know that the condition for any worship to be accepted, there are two conditions. What are they? As what Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ أَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you really love Allah as you claim, then follow me. Allah will love you. So it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to follow. And we have, as we said, many different things related to salah. We have, for example, we're going to talk about salah as generally the conditions, the pillars, etc. And then we're going to talk about how to perform salah. How? Is there a special way, or it is open? For example, we're going to talk about how to perform salah in regular times. How to perform salah, the salatul nafila, salatul layl, salatul khawf, salah between adhan and iqama, this kind of salawat and some other salawat, how to be performed. Salatul al-Eid, salatul Jum'ah, salatul janaza, salatul istikhara, salatul istisqa, all these prayers we are going to go through until we finish, and then we get, and then we take the quiz. But this kind of dars might have a lot of information that you need to write down. So I prefer that we spread it in two or three sessions for the quizzes. So we have, in salah, for example, we have minimum two quizzes, if not three. Why? Because there are a lot of information that you need to have. What the evidence is, perhaps. So, let's talk about the conditions of salah. The ulama have said the Quran and the Sunnah, and they came up with 9 conditions. And we all know, let me first of all clarify one thing for you. We say there are shurut for salah, conditions. There are arkan for salah, pillars. There are wajibat for salah, obligations. There are sunan for salah, optional sayings and actions. And there are mubtilat for salah, which is the invalidators of salah. So, what is the difference between shurut, arkan, wajibat, and sunnah? We need to know the difference. It cannot be just like that. It wasn't mentioned just like that without benefit. No, there is a benefit. What is the benefit from mentioning these things? It is to know what to do if you miss one of these. As shurut al-salah, if you miss any one of them, you miss the prayer. And you don't have to do sujood sahu in there. However, if one does sujood sahu for forgetting a condition, then this is bid'ah. But for arkan, we said that the shurut, if you miss one, you miss the whole salah, khalas, finish. While arkan, if you miss one intentionally, then you miss the salah, the whole salah. But if it is unintentionally and you can't go back to it, then you got to go back to it. If you can't go back to it, then you don't consider that raka that you missed the bila from. And then we have wajibat, and perhaps you need to do sujood tawaf raka. And then we have wajibat, which is the obligations, or the obligatory actions and sayings.
This audio file has been recorded and distributed by SalafiTapes.com.
So wajibat, if you miss any wajib, and you are still while you are close to the place of the wajib, you return back to that place and do the wajib. If you left it to the other, to the next step of salah, then you don't go back to it, but that whole rak'ah will be dropped. And then the following rak'ah will be in its place. And then you need to do sujood tawaf. That is the wajibat. The sunan, you don't need to bring a sujood tawaf if you miss any sunnah. Although some of the ulama said that everyone needs to do sujood tawaf, even if it is by mistake, not intentionally. However, they don't have any proof for that. They don't have any evidence for that. And then we have, for example, the mubtilat as-salah, the invalidators of salah. What can nullify or invalidate salah? What can neglect salah? Or there are a couple of things. If you do them, then your salah is neglected or invalidated. So we are going to go through these, inshallah ta'ala, on the coming days. So now we're going to go through the shurut just by mentioning them. Or let me go through the shurut, arkan, wajibat, and sunan. Just go through like that. And tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to speak about shurut with evidences. Just to give you a general idea about what we are talking or what we are going to talk about. Shurut are 9. It is Islam. Islam. So what is the meaning of Islam in this place? Is there any cover going to pay? Might be. Maybe there is somebody who is willing to embrace Islam but not yet declared. So he comes to the masjid, for example, and find the people praying. So he joins them and say, for example, that was Salat al-Duha. And then after Salah, he said, I want to know about Islam, so I want to embrace Islam. He said, come forward to the Imam, and the Imam started dictating the wording to him, and he said, explaining the all things about Islam. Islam is to worship one God, Islam is to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam to fulfill the obligatory duties like Salah, Siyam, Zakah, Hajj. You have to do also things which are mandatory, which like dealing good with parents, etc., etc. And then he says to him, okay, now you got to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The man says it or the woman says it, and then he or she become Muslim. Okay, now we look to the hour to the watch and find that it is only 1 hour past. So we still have another hour and a half for Asr. So, and the man has already prayed with us in the masjid before he gave the talk. Now what do we say? We say to him, Akhi, you're a Muslim now. And you're a Muslim in the time of Salah now. So you need now to start praying this Dhuhr Salah. Why? Because he didn't do it properly. Because when he came to pray, he, instead of reciting Fatiha, he started saying, blah, blah, blah. Then, this is not, not acceptable. Back to Islam as a condition. This man embraced Islam at the time of Dhuhr, which he joined the Jama'ah and doing it while still being in the state of Kufr. You say, okay, now after you become a Muslim, you need to make wudu once again and come to pray. He says, well, I've done wudu before Salah and I joined the Jama'ah. He says, excuse me, this wudu and this Salah were done while you were still in the state of Kufr. So now you become Muslim. You have to make wudu and then join the prayer. Why? Because Islam is an invalidator. Missing Islam is an invalidator of Salah. So we have Islam. We have Aql, which is sanity. We have Tamyiz, which is distinguishing between the good and bad. That is regarding the age and boyhood. We have Tahara, which is purity. We have removal of the impure objects or things from the body, the clothes, and the place where we're going to pray. We have covering very well all the body parts, and especially the private parts. We have to cover all that so we can get to prayer. Also, from the conditions is that the time for that prayer has fall now. Yani, it is the time for Salah. So, then we look if these people who are coming to make Salah, did they perform it at the time or before the time? If it is before the time, then they can't. They can't do it before the time. Except in one case, which is in combining two salat together. But that is a special case, and we're going to talk about that later on. And then we have the khul waqt, as we said, the time. And then we have facing the qibla, facing the direction of the Kaaba. If you intentionally decided not to direct to them, to direct to someone else, then this salah is not acceptable. But if accidentally you prayed directing to the opposite of the Kaaba, thinking that you are in the same direction of the Kaaba, then you are not in sin. You are not in sin. So, and then we have the niyyah, the intention. We have to have the intention. So these are the conditions. Think about them. Why they are made to be conditions. And then inshallah tomorrow we're going to meet the same time, 11 o'clock, to discuss shurut of salah once again, but more widely, with the evidences for everyone. And inshallah we'll take the questions related to this subject tomorrow. And now, generally if you have any question, you are more than welcome to forward it. There are 15 minutes left to finish the time for the lecture. Welcome. Forward your questions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, is there any question? Okay, Fadal Akh Shahid. Here, Brother Abu Fadl, please read the those. Or are time. Okay, Shaykh. Naam. Okay, Shaykh said, the intention is not uttered as we hear from the people of knowledge. How would one advise the one who says you have to utter it? Well, we say now, Salah is an essential act of Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us how to pray, as he said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray as you saw me praying. Now we ask this person, okay, what is your proof and evidence for uttering salah, uttering the niyyah for salah? And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, when he was asked this question, he was asked about somebody who said before he prays, raising his hands towards the Kaaba, and he says, "Ya Allah, nawaitu, I intend to pray Salatul Buhri for Rak'ah Lillahi Ta'ala behind this Imam, Allahu Akbar." Say, "Akhi, where did you find the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that? Where did you find the Sahaba said that?" He will tell you, "No, but I am on this madhab, I am on that madhab." We say, "Akhi, Jazakallah khair, may Allah reward the Imam of the madhab or the ulama of the madhab." But we have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the example given to us by Allah. لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So, by that we clear to that person that this is not right, and at the same time we showed him the way. Wallahu a'lam. The way in all the fiqh, all the matters of fiqh, we have to go back to the Prophet's Sunnah, Allah. MashaAllah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am new to Islam. Only 1 month, MashaAllah, tabarak. You are in the right room. We are just discussing about Islam from A to Z, inshaAllah. It says, okay. I was listening to some lectures in Baltok about the prayer that you cannot have your forehead covered, but I wear a scarf that you cannot have your head covered, but I have the scarf when praying that covers my head and forehead. Is the prayer for men different than prayer for girls? Well, there is the form how to pray. No, there is no difference, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray as you saw me praying. So this is general to all. What is different is what has been said to the woman directly. Like, for example, covering the head and the body, leaving face and hands uncovered if you are not in presence of stranger men. So this and covering the feet, perhaps covering the feet, whether by the same cloth or by the same cloth, perhaps even socks are not enough to be a cover for the feet. You got to cover both feet with the clothes that you are wearing. Covering the forehead is not permissible, but it is not a preventer or an invalidator for salah. If one does it, as the Sahaba used to put their scarf on the floor when they were going to sujood because it was very hot. But to cover it all, this would be against the Sunnah. This would be against the Sunnah, wallahu a'lam. But if one does the prayer with that, the prayer is correct, it's sahih, inshallah. It has some defect, but it is still sahih, wallahu a'lam. نعم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. طيب, I know a non-Muslim who is saying that he believes in the arkan of Islam and Iman, and he accepts them and understands them correctly, yet he doesn't say the Shahada due to not knowing how to perform the Salah correctly yet. Inshallah, I will sit with this man again tomorrow, and I would like your advice to this problem. Well, you tell him that he should now declare the Shahada immediately, as long as he accepts and he knows, alhamdulillah, and the prayer, he should pray as much as he yani can and know. And it is not necessarily to be 100% for now. It will come gradually, and he is going to sit to the Muslims and know how to pray. But he should embrace Islam right away, as long as he is yani accepting the pillars of Islam and Iman. That is much greater than do not know them. The minimum for him to know in Salah is to know how to stand, how to make ruku, how to make sujood. And if he can if he can recite Fatiha, alhamdulillah. If not, the Prophet ﷺ said, let him make tasbih and tahleel, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, labas, no problem for that. But he should not refrain away from Islam until he knows how to pray. No, first embrace Islam, because the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he sent him to Yemen, which was Christian country, he told him, first teach them or tell them, command them to testify that there is no worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and if they accept from you, then move to the other one, which is Salah. If they accept from you, then you go to the other one, which is Zakat and the like. So if he, alhamdulillah, knows understands Arkan al-Iman, Arkan al-Islam, and he accepts them, then he should immediately embrace Islam, even if he doesn't know how to pray. Very simple how to pray. You can show him how to pray, and that's it. And later on, inshallah, he will come to rooms like this and then learn more and more about how to pray, how whatsoever. Naam, Allahu a'lam. Let me take one more question, and then I'd ask your permission, brothers and sisters, to go, as I'm very tired. Maybe you have seen or heard something. Assalamu alaikum. What is the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah you mentioned? Aqimu as-salah. This is ayah number 43 in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. That is ayah number 43 in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِيَّاكُمْ بَارَكَ اللَّهِ. We can take one more. Still have 3 minutes. Although I came late today, but excuse me. طيب. Al-Yusuf 2 says, what is the proper way to open a dars? Can Surah Al-Fatiha be used? Also, may we ask more than one question? We start from the last. Yes, you can ask whatsoever questions you want, And if we don't answer them, you please either have them saved with you, or you can send them to my email, so tomorrow I will begin with answering them. And in regard to the beginning of the question, what is the proper way to open a dars? The proper way to open a dars is, first of all, you go and learn. You go and learn. Study. And then you come to open the dars. You call the people surrounding you and you start teaching them whatever knowledge you gained. You start saying, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, amma ba'd. Or if you want, you bring the whole introductory words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna alhamdulillahi na'madu wa nasta'inu. Either way, even if you just say, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, amma ba'd, that is also Alhamdulillah enough. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه. جزاكم الله خيرا وجزى الله أخانا أبا هشام أبا فاطمة هشام ابن زيد الكريبي خير الجزاء for what he الحمد لله maintained this room and kept it open for the brothers and sisters. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.